Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 8, Section 2. The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being very and eternal God, of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin. Being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, of her substance, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion, which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. In the first paragraph of chapter 8, we were introduced to the one mediator between God and man. In this second paragraph, we were informed that the mediator is both God and man. And this is a clear teaching of the Word of God. It's this mediator that we meet in the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, is very God. For John says he was God. Here too we see that he is eternal God. For John says this was true from the beginning. And elsewhere it says that Jesus is the true God and eternal life. Since the Son is God as much as the Father, or for that matter the Holy Spirit, is God, it's almost understatement to notice that they are of one substance, or to say that they are equal, as Paul does in his letter to the Philippians. But while we are not surprised at the unity or the equality of the three in the one, we never cease to marvel that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. How hard it is to grasp even the edges of this incredible fact, that the Word that was God, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who can but fail to hear John's humbled amazement as later on he tells the world that what he and his fellow disciples saw, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The real humanity of this incarnation is revealed in many places in the Bible, including the Epistle to the Hebrews. This mediator did not take on the form of angels, we are told. No, he was made like his brothers in every way. To the extent that we are made partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same. But he did not take fallen flesh. Sin did not invade his mind or his body, his will, his heart, or any part of him. As the writer to the Hebrews notes, our mediator is not one who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Not at all. On the contrary, we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. We must never forget that chasm of difference that always exists between being tempted to sin and actually sinning and falling to temptation. The sheer extent of human wonder at the incarnation can make us forget sometimes, perhaps, that this is part of human history. But it is part of history, and we can read it simply but eloquently as Luke narrates it for us in the first chapter of his gospel. There in the first chapter of Luke's gospel, we're told how an angel revealed to Mary that she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit while still a virgin. He would be called the Son of God, but at the same time, this child really would be hers. But even as we wonder at this a stunning fact of human history, we must also pay careful attention to biblical facts and biblical truths. It is not the case that man became God. We must always remember that this is a case of God becoming man. The one was possible, and it has happened. and the other is not, and never will happen. We must always try to understand as well the words that we use. I've referred to a few, if you will, technical terms. Often the great creeds of the church have stressed that the Son of God was of the same substance as the Father. That's not a biblical term, but clear-headed theologians mean that Jesus is really divine. They're of the same substance. And here the confession helpfully reminds us that he would also be of Mary's substance. By that, these theologians mean only that Jesus is really human. But how are we to understand the divinity and humanity of Christ? How do they relate in the one person that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, now ascended on high and seated at God's right hand? Well, I think we need to remember the words of the angel. The one to be born will be called the Son of God. Stated differently, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. Or as Paul puts this mystery to the Roman Christians, we can trace a human ancestry of Christ. And at the same time, and almost in the same breath, we remember that he is God over all. The Bible consistently refers to two whole, perfect, and distinct natures. There's the Godhead, or the deity, and there's the manhood, or the humanity. And these two are one. And so it is that we confess that, and we see that Jesus was truly human. Christ died for our sins, and only a human can die. And yet this really was God who was manifest in the flesh. It was a real man who was justified in the Spirit and seen of angels. It was a real God who was preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. These two are inseparably joined together in one person. There's no conversion here. The God did not become man, and the man did not become God in some fashion that created some third item. There was no composition. The incarnation did not result in some new creature that was neither God nor man. In fact, there's no confusion at all between the human nature and the divine nature in Christ. What we can say is that there's one person who's very God and very man. And as we search for words, we must always confess with clarity that he is one Christ. And so we can say with Paul that God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, really was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and really was declared to be the Son of God with power. And so we trust his salvation, and we pray in his name, confessing with all Christians through the ages that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. And this morning, as we try to grasp the wonder of the incarnation and try to find words to describe who our Lord is as God and man, we pray that you would teach us to worship you all the more. This is a plan not of human devising. This is not something that we could have thought of. There is no way of salvation that we could have ever have accomplished or dreamed of, let alone executed in any way. But you sent your Son, who was born of a virgin, and he is our Savior and our Mediator. Teach us to trust him and to serve him, both in the following hour and through all of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.